never know. Then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you are never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. For the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, the talk comes easy. Life's at its best, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. Oh, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Amen.
I'm excited tonight to be able to introduce a very special speaker, Brother Larry Hart. Give Brother Larry a big hand.
Well, my wife would probably say that I'm not that special. Sometimes she tells me to keep my mouth shut sometimes. But it's a blessing to be able to stand here tonight and somebody said it's the charge to the church and it's charge to the deacon and the establishment of the deacon. You know, the Baptist deacon, the Baptist church has gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations. By the way, we've been praying for a young man, and I want to recognize my brother and my sister-in-law here tonight. We've been praying for their son, who is on his fourth trip to this time. I think it's in another, but he's been in combat several times, and God has blessed him. And our church has been praying for him. My brother Jack Hart and his wife back there. Just want to say that. What a blessing it is to be able to stand in the house of God, especially to stand in the Baptist church. And I was telling Brother Joe this morning that I had been reading a little book, and of course I don't understand all about the difficulties that our church had gone through, the Baptist church, all the way through the ages. And the reason is because the doctrine of the Baptist church is so much different than all the other doctrines that have ever been. We believe in the things that other people don't don't have, the other churches don't have. For instance, one of the doctrines is that Christ is the head of the church. It was Christ's idea about the church. It was not mankind's. I mean, it was Jesus that said to Peter, who, as we've talked about many times, I believe that all of us can kind of identify with Peter, the rebellious apostle, you might say, that did things his own way, but yet sometimes, we talked about this before, he was willing to step out of the boat sometime on his faith. I believe that that's what Kevin has done here, chosen by the church, and of course there's many, we had many, many names, of course everybody was close, but we have one who's decided when he was called to step forward to it. You know, we as Christians have to do that. We wonder why the world is in the situation it's in. That's why. Because a lot of times as Christians we won't step forward and proclaim the name of Christ in a sick world that we live in. We talked a little bit about Sunday school this morning, and with the quotation about if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the redemption that will bring back what has taken place in our nation today. Why we struggle, why the whole thing seems to be unraveling before our very eyes, and yet we try to hold on. And we're holding on to the things that God has laid down for the church for us to do. And as I said, in Matthew, I think it is the 16th chapter, and of course, if y'all want to turn to it, we'll read that the first scripture there. And of course, I'm going to try to mention the church here and tell you where the beginning of the church was. At this time, we had the Lord come. The Old Testament people didn't know anything about it, hadn't heard about it. And it's just moments after this that Peter falls back and forgets about what he is. But anyway, he said in the 15th verse of the 19th chapter of, or 16th chapter of Matthew, I'm sorry, 16th chapter of Matthew, he said, then he said to them, in the 15th verse, he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And the Bible says, Simon Peter, I believe that all the apostles looked around and with kind of vacant spaces saying, what kind of a question is this that he's bringing to us? Who do you say that I am? But it's the age-old question that has to come to every person whenever Christ comes on the scene. I'm talking about Muslim, anybody. But when Christ comes to them, when somebody brings them the message of life, whom do you say that I am? And the question you and I have to continue in our lives daily and even before our children, whom do you say that I am? Who are you before your own children? I'm a Baptist. I'm a Christian first. I've accepted Christ. But I'm a Baptist later because I believe it's the closest thing. But Jesus says to him this way. He said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter, of course, like I say, just as bold, I believe he shoved his knife back in his pocket. He was about to get mad at somebody around there, but he jumped up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered him this question. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The promise of the church was made right there, right, established by the Lord Jesus Christ and him only, and the promise of his coming. And he expressed the existence of the Holy Spirit, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to him. Nobody punched him in the arm and said, Peter, you know what? He's talking about he's the Christ. No, the Holy Spirit revealed that to Peter, and he boldly jumped up and said, you are the Christ. So we have the promise there of the church, and it's coming. And you and I believe this because we believe that Christ is the head of the church. And I'm going to talk about the doctrines here of the Baptist Church. And I may jump around a little bit, and I was telling Brother Joe, I've been kind of jumping back and to and everything, but in the Baptist Church, we believe that Christ is the head of the church. Amen. There's no pope. There's no body group or head of group that we have to send to and order our pastor. We've called Brother Joe. We are a separated out people, the Baptists. We believe that. I believe that you can find many places in the scripture where it says, I believe it's in Ephesians, the 23rd chapter, and it says that Jesus Christ is the head over all things. You and I look to him.
Right.
When we pray at night, we pray to him.
Right. Amen.
It is him that answers our prayers. It's He that gives us the ordinances and all the things that He gave unto Paul and to all the apostles for the establishment of the church. We also believe another doctrine of the Baptist church is we believe the Bible to be the only book of our faith.
Amen.
That we come from. Now, you may read other books to find out other ideas about what things do. Like I said, I read a little bit about it. I read the one time about the 12 unusual men, about the apostles. But the Bible is the center of all of our faith, of all of our words. It's a direct message from God, the love letter from God that God has given us and told us all the things, the reason why He laid out this thing. The Old Testament gives us His how He created all things. And then we have the prophets of the coming of the establishment of the church, and then the promise of Jesus Christ in the church. And then I look at it sometimes and I think about the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how that these are the corners, the four corners of the church. And all of the many things that God has laid out for us to give us that life and more abundant life.
Yes.
Why do we have so much? Why are we so blessed? Why is it we have the blessings of God? Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life.
Right.
And not just have a simple life, but have it more abundant.
Yes.
So much. Why is it we so blessed? Why is it we live in this country that once was had so many wonderful things in it? Because Christ gave it to us, the Christian nation. Another reason, like I say, in the Bible, it says in why the Bible is given to us for this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that we may thoroughly be furnished with all the things that we need. Always to give a reason for why, young people, whenever somebody questions why you believe something, always know what you believe in and why you believe it. That's what I used to tell the boys. Be prepared to give an answer to this world for why you believe what you do. Why your faith is in Him. That's another question I think that Peter answered one time when he told him. He said, where can I go? Where shall you go in this world that we live in today? He says, thou hast the answer to eternal life.
Yes.
There's no other way. There's no other way but in it through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other answer.
Right.
The pinnacle, the highest individual that has ever been raised, and the one that will be at the highest pinnacle someday is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is in Him. Is all the answers to all the problems that we have. Another reason that we are the way we are is because we believe in eternal security. I don't have to live every day with a question of whether I get lost or saved or lost or saved. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy of it. I'm unworthy of the agreement that God gave His Son. He and His Son made this agreement, not you and I. I can't do anything for my salvation. I can't take all that I have and accumulate it and buy 1 minute in heaven. I can't see my mother and dad ever again. Without Him, I believe, but I believe because of Him, I believe they're both bastards.
Yes.
Amen. God's love. Amen. And my brother there, we talked the other day, riding to Alabama. I know it's going to be a joke. Everybody likes about it. But we rode the other day talking about our mom and dad. Just as fresh as if they were alive today. And they are.
Yes, right.
They are.
That's right.
Kept by Him who promised. If His promise is no good, then we ought all to go home. If it's wasted, if we've wasted our time, let's go home and watch TV. Forget about it. Paul said that if this salvation is not true, then we've wasted it. B says here, but we are sealed. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles? He didn't say to them, don't worry about it. I'm going to come back. I'm going to send a counterfeit of me. He said, but I'm going to send somebody that's going to be different to you. Somebody that will step out of the boat. He will take you. He will teach you. First of all, He'll convict you of sin and cause a repentance in our life. We all, you know, the word that seems to be lost today is repentance. I remember years ago when I sat under a preacher and I had to bow my head or squeeze my thing.
Yes.
Repent. Yeah. Repentance and salvation today has gone away, seems like. I'm thankful that we got a preacher that's preaching the word here at this church. I'm telling you. I told him out here the other day, I have still not got over The lion in the snow. He preached that about a month ago, I think. The lion in the snow. Some of y'all need to come back and get you to preach it again. Oh, what a message. Repentance. Accept in Christ and Him alone. It's you, and listen, every breath that you take, every step that you take, it's He that's giving you. It's He that's protecting you. It's He that's caring. My brother back there, by the way, was a Navy pilot. It's He that watched over him when he landed on those carriers. And all of us here, we can sit here and think about the dangerous times in our life when Satan, if he had the opportunity, would have taken your life and smushed you away. But God protected you, watched over you, kept you, keeps you, and brought you to this moment. And then the Bible says, like I say, that we're sealed by that. And we are a saved membership. With the membership, there's no other people except those that have followed Him that can vote in any question. We're a saved membership. We are born again. It's unusual. It's unusual. I remember back years ago when the question came to Jimmy Carter, but the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, one of the greatest scriptures I believe that's ever given in the answer of salvation. It was written by Paul. Paul, who had to have lived somehow a life, and we're going to get to him in just a minute about something else that he said. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for he says, for by grace are you saved, and that a gift of God. The grace is provided by God.
Yes. Wow.
The faith is provided by the believer. The grace of God, unmerited favor. He who created all things, all the stars of the heaven, all of the things that we cannot understand and cannot fathom. How the eternal life, the eternal security that I just talked about a while ago, the perpetualness of God's church and the things that He has laid out, the plans that He's made, He's kept.
Yes.
I simply see.
Yes.
He's made it all for each of every one of us. Yes. I'll be honest with you. I'm not in no hurry. As Brother Joe said this morning, I'm not in no hurry about going. But I'll be glad someday. I'll be glad someday when I get there. And I see my dad again. And I say, Daddy, I'm sorry for some of the things that I did. Rebellious kid that ran away to Alabama, 16 years old. Some of the things I said. Forgiveness. Of God. Only God. Only God can forgive each and every one of us of our sins and then pour out the blessings on us in our children, in our home. I know I complain sometimes about some of the things that some of the problems that I have, but yet God blessed us to give us so many things that sometimes we don't even pray.
Right. Yes.
God's great gift.
I thought about some time back mentioned about Jesus,
that all of our faith, the faith of the Baptist Church, like I say, now I'm talking about something, I guess, about the structure of the church here when I talk about the leadership in the church and how we're coming here to call a deacon, but I can see Jesus when He laid these plans out, how that as He went to the cross and He saw all those that were around Him. And as He made His way through the gates of Jerusalem there, started toward the gates of Jerusalem, He looked and He saw Golgotha, the hill there that's not far from that time. He would be sacrificing Himself for all of us. For all of the things that we ask for and all that we seek for, our children and our children's children. The blessings that God has given us.
Unnamed and unnumbered. Now we talked about these things. I want to talk to you a moment about the sacraments of the Baptist Church. There's two of them.
Baptism. We in the Baptist Church believe in believer's baptism. We believe that once you've accepted Christ, that you follow the words of Christ where He said, when He walked down to the river, and here's John the Baptist, he was down there baptizing people, And he looked up and he saw Jesus walking down through there, and he immediately recognized him. And the Bible says as he walked down, John looked at him and he said, "I need to be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Yeah. It don't mean that you cannot be saved if you're not baptized, because sometimes we look at the thief on the cross. A lot of people like to say, "Well, he wasn't baptized." No, and I've often thought about that, but if he'd had the opportunity, I believe he would have.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
As a matter of fact, baptism is it represents an inward cleansing, and you're projecting to the world that you followed Christ.
Yes.
To walk in newness of life. In other words, you drowned in the old flesh and rise up in the new. But baptism is one. Of course, we believe that after you've saved and accepted Christ, there may be some in our church that have never been baptized. I believe they should follow and believe in baptism. Then the other sacrament, of course, is the Lord's Supper, where Jesus went to the cross. Just prior to going to the cross, the Bible says he wanted to have a communion with the apostles, and he brought them before him, and he said, "Do this, or this do in remembrance of me." It's an examination of each of our lives. When you have the Lord's Supper, or when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're examining yourself for him. Paul even brought it out even closer, I think, in the 15th chapter maybe of Corinthians, where he said that you have to look back to yourself. And I've thought so many times about it. We it's something that we need to do as Baptists as often as we can. At least once or twice a year. I don't know how many times. I think we do it every quarter.
Right.
But these are the doctrines of the Baptist Church. Struggled and strived. We also, like I say, in the Baptist Church, we have the leader. Our leadership is, of course, in the pastor, our spiritual leader, and I believe the Baptist deacon is to follow him. You know how the Baptist to support him is always to support him. And then in Acts, y'all help me now. Devil's trying to fight with me a little bit here, because as I said, I had a it was, but. How did this become established? In the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, now this is after the day of Pentecost, the apostles went forth preaching, and of course they preached in, they went later and preached in all the world. But the Bible says that as the church began to be established, as the growth of the church began to take place, excuse me a minute, as the church began to take place, and we see that here, as growth comes, the opportunity has to come that we have more people to serve, more people that are coming. Listen, nobody knows exactly where this idea will end. You know, the Hiram First Baptist Church came about as one man's idea who's now gone to heaven. You know, and then we've seen all the miracles that have taken place, the things that have taken place, and then we finally find a man. Wringing his hands while we're wringing our hands. He's walking down the aisle of his house trying to, wondering where he should be in a church that has need for him. You see, God knows all things and he sees all things.
Yeah.
When I go to my knees in prayer, when each one of us goes to our knees in prayer, we don't have to tell God so much. He already knows.
Right.
The situation
in
our life.
Yes.
He knows the situations that take place in our life, what we have to have. And the church needed somebody at this time. That when the early church was established, it was almost unorganized. And I believe, and I've mentioned it several times, that I believe it was Paul that God really chose to lay down some of the bylaws and some of the establishment that would help the church to get organized. And so he laid this down, and he said, finally the apostle said to this in the sixth chapter of Acts, they said, "Wherefore, brethren, look unto you, among you seven men of honest report and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business." Because there were so many things taking place, so many people had so many needs, the apostles couldn't do it. He said, "But we ourselves must continue to pray in the ministry of the word." Now, so they took this, They took these men. They asked among the brethren, like I was talking about the membership of the church. He said, choose you out men of honest report. I believe that I don't really have to worry about that because I know that Kevin is a man of honest report. I do. I know that. But you know that's a question that all of us as Christians should answer within ourselves. We have to always try to be, not just because we're a Christian, but because we're representative of Christ,
right,
but to be honest and to be of honest report, to try to do that which we know to be right in the front of all men, so that people can see Christ in us. Not listen. We've got all these deacons here, but after tonight, tomorrow, these deacons will be all over the country. It's like I was talking about this morning in Sunday school class. Hiram First Baptist is here today, but tomorrow it'll be out there all over the community. Hiram First Baptist will be everywhere. And these deacons are not just deacons here. You're deacons out
right
in the world.
Amen.
And it's the same thing. Kevin is also a paramedic. And he's a fireman. And I've thought to myself many times, there's a lot of people that look at our lives, not just his, but look at our lives. What we do, you know what? Our grandchildren and our children, you know, these young men that are coming on as deacons now, the mantle of the old men will be passed. There's many of us gray-headed men coming. Robert, you know, Keith, you're a little bit, but you're not that old. But it'll be passed someday.
That's right.
And you and I, just like Elijah and Elisha, where Elisha told him, I ain't leaving you. I want to find out all you know, and I want to get double portion of it.
Yes.
I want to be able to stand when others fall.
Yes.
To believe when others don't
believe.
When
yes.
People fail, I want to be able to stand.
Yes.
The Bible says someplace, I believe it is in Ephesians, it says to stand fast and hold firm to those things that God's given us. Listen, we don't have to unravel throughout this world. We know what's taking place in our country. And it's up to the church, our church. It may have to begin at Hiram First Baptist, where somebody says, hey, you know what? Like somebody says about all the cars that people passed by here last week when we had our Halloween thing. They say, something's going on there. Something's going on there. Two of the most notable deacons, of course, was Stephen, and I like to look at Stephen and Philip. Stephen, there's an instance that took place in the life of Stephen. Stephen was one of those men that was called out because he was honest and full of the Holy Spirit and a good report. And he was called out. And listen, it's apt as a deacon, of course, we're apt to give our testimony anytime. We're apt to teach. The Bible even says, I think it's placed, isn't there a place in there where it says you're apt to preach? Apt to teach, okay. So, Stephen was one of these fellows, he couldn't control it. And he began to tell people the history and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about all these things that were taking place. And the Bible says that he was stoned. He became probably the first martyr of the deacon fellowship. And Stephen had something that was very miraculous, I believe, that took place. While he was being stoned, there was a young man holding the coats of others. And his name was Saul of Tarsus. He later became Paul of Rome. But the Bible says that as Stephen was stoned, he looked into heaven and he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. The Bible says that he was seated next to the Father, but Stephen saw him standing. Another notable deacon, of course, and in this was Philip. Philip was off preaching in Samaria and teaching and doing and what he was supposed to be doing. The Bible says that he was caught away. And he was carried out there. I don't know exactly, but he brought upon it. I should have read it. It'll be over in Acts. If you want to read it, Acts the 12th or somewhere like that. But anyway, he comes upon a man sitting there reading a chariot. And Philip started talking to him about it. He said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading something in the Old Testament. But everything points to Jesus. Everything points to Christ. It goes all the way back through Genesis. Everything. And the Bible says that he sat there and he began to teach him about Jesus. And he said, here in water, he said, can I be baptized? And he said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, deacon has always been bold, has been faithful to his membership, faithful to his pastor, faithful to those things of God, always establishing those things that God has needs of in the church.
Right?
I mean, I'm not just praising, but I wanted to, like I say, I've kind of struggled through this because I was telling Brother Joe I had the hardest time. I'd read this and I'd read that and I'd wonder about. But I want to say to the church about Kevin. I've known Kevin for 37 years. Is it 37 years? I've known him since he was a little bit. Say that of all my sons.
Yeah. Wow.
I've been so blessed. I've truly been a partaker of Jesus saying, I've come that you have life.
Yes.
I've been so blessed.
Amen.
But I've seen him be of honest report. I don't believe Kevin would tell you a lie. He goes, try to get it. I twisted his arm. I believe he had trouble doing that too. I believe he's full of the Holy Spirit because he called me and asked me for it, and we prayed about things together. I know that the Lord's blessed him. I know the Lord saved him. And also, to him, I want to say this, though. The young men that will be coming on, and we've got several people. We got a bunch of young boys coming in groups. We got a bunch of young guys coming in. And like I say, the mantle will be passed. We've got to be patient. Even deacons sometimes need help, need your prayer.
Yes.
The church should always be in prayer for the deacon body. Yes. We make the right decisions.
Yes.
And I believe so far that God has answered it. I honestly believe that.
Yes.
I believe that in times that we even looked at each other and said, well, maybe he's right and I'm right. But I believe that when we prayed and got together, I believe somehow or another we came with the right decision.
Yes.
I believe we're here. He's here. Bless God. I believe God's doing a work.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
You know what? We don't even know who it is that may walk through that door that God has done this whole thing for.
Right.
And for the others.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
God. It's Christ and him alone. But Jesus gave a scripture, I think, to every person.
Yeah.
And I believe he gave it especially. And I want to give these two scriptures here, three scriptures actually, to Kevin. Because the Bible says that, and I know him, and the biggest question that he had of me whenever I first found out about him being chosen to be a deacon was, I don't feel like I can fulfill the duties, that I should be able to do that. I don't feel like it. And he was worried about it. But Jesus said, my peace. The peace of God, the peace of Christ. You can say, I'm going to do the best I can, Lord. I know you will handle the rest. I'll do. Listen, we as deacons, we try to do the best we can, and then we leave the rest to God.
Right. Right.
Amen. It's in his hands. And then is my favorite scripture. You know what that quote is?
Though we believe not,
yet he abideth faithful. It don't make no difference where you get away from. You can come back to him. He is faithful to remain where he said he would be.
Wow.
He is always there. And you can go to your knees at any time.
Yes.
And he is there. He is there. The minute that you cry, Lord, and you're sincere from your heart, he is there. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Close out with this. There was a young man one time about the same age. And he had all the problems of the world, it seemed like. He had been called to do a job that he could not do. And he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I don't know what to do. And then he had so many troubles that he began to pray to God. And he prayed to God.